find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
Hey, this is J.J. Burden, former NFL wide receiver, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey everybody, welcome on back to the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. 321, Mike. Staring 400 in the face these days, you know, we're getting there.
But I like it as a straight pattern, 3, 2, 1. So that's the next right. Time I'll get excited is 3, 4, 5. I'm just going to phone it in for the next 20-some.
That seems to be what you do. You do... Mm-hmm. Only on the big episodes you come out and then you phone it in for about 100, and then you step it up and then you phone it in for about another 100.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I'll bring something for 333 because that's a cool number. But,
right.
I mean, all the other ones in between, they're just stupid numbers.
You can't ramp it up for 300?
No, I mean, I need crazy patterns. I need something that really hits my heart. I mean, once we do my area code 732, that one, I'm giving A++ kind of effort on that one.
I mean, yeah, that's only like, at this rate, that's like 6 years from now. So we'll get there. The way I see it, we're only like 1,200 episodes behind Joe Rogan. Only about 1,200. That's not that many.
We're catching him. We're getting up there. I mean, granted, he has... way more cash flow.
And a little bit.
Followers and primo guests and, I mean, pretty much anything you look for in a podcast versus us, he's kind of ahead. But, you know,
he's entertaining.
You know, it's like a 1 versus 16. Every once in a while, the 16 slaps the 1 in the face.
But anyway, everybody, welcome to or back to Verbal Shenanigans. I'm glad to be back. Always happy to be ripping it here on a Monday night with my good pal, Mike. But if you're tuning in, we've been around for about six years or so. And we are what we like to call a radio-style podcast. We don't do straight interviews. We also just don't talk with each other the whole time. We like to play games. We like to talk about life. We like to bring on an interesting guest every week. And this week is no different. Last week, we had a really good week. I got a lot of great feedback from our interview with Byron Belasco, the creator of Kingdom. Got a lot of people checking it out, and that show is growing, and these groups on Facebook are growing, so it's pretty cool to see. And I've converted like 3 or 4 friends to watching the show, and they all love it. So fingers crossed, maybe season 4 miraculously happens somehow.
Was there like a big ceremony, like a religious change or something? Did you have to like baptize them and then turn on your Netflix?
You know, like, I don't know if you were a Boy Scout, but remember Arrow of Light? You had to like cross the bridge and like you received your Arrow of Light. So yeah, that's what I did. I gave them like an MMA glove. You know, they crossed the bridge in my backyard. It was great.
I am one with you. Oh, wait, can I borrow somebody's login for Netflix? I don't pay for that. Hello? Hello, I did the Arrow of Light. I really need to see the show now.
Yeah, so, and then we had a really cool band by the name of the Black Moods, who have some really good songs, man. I really dig their sound. They got a sound for radio, that's for sure. I could see any of their songs kind of being picked up and used in, like, TV shows and whatnot. So we had a good week last week, and this week is... no different. We'll probably be dialing it back as Labor Day approaches. Oh, I know. Everybody's so sad. We'll probably be going to, like, back to our Monday release as I get closer to baby time. And as, you know, the summer kind of winds down, we've been really cranking out a lot of interviews, like sometimes three a week. At one point, we were like, in the middle of the pandemic, it felt like we had like 8 interviews sitting in the bag. We're starting to thin that out. We're starting to kind of, you know, as things are clearing up with COVID here, people going back to work, things like that, I think it's going to be, we're going to be going back to once a week, which is great because you guys get an opportunity to catch up on all the other great stuff. So,
yeah, like the first part of the pandemic, like March and April, we're like, yeah, anytime, anywhere, we're going to do a podcast. We're going to fill the time. We're not going to be bored. And around like June, July, it's just like, what? How many we got this week?
Mm-hmm.
What? And we need to do banter for all of them too?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
But I did was mop the floor this week. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah. And I would say personally, like, it started to get almost like overwhelming, like which ones to edit, what to put with what, when to put them out, graphics to make, how to organize them in my head. And so we're not going away. We're just going to go back to what we used to do. At least for a little while, and at least till baby Brennan is here and kind of settled in. So we're gonna try to, but we don't. That doesn't mean we don't have a lot of great guests. We have about like 6 or 7 scheduled already. So we're not going anywhere. Mike, did you see the Batman trailer?
Yeah,
looks good, man.
Everything that I saw from what DC released, every single one, I'm like, whoa, that's a solid hit. You know, it's pretty decent when they re-release a crappy movie and you say, hey, this new trailer looks great.
Yeah, I didn't see that yet either. I was talking about the Pattinson? Yeah, Pattinson one.
Robert Pattinson. Yeah, I saw the Batman one. That looked good. I saw the teaser for the next Suicide Squad, which looks kind of cool because, I mean, my only concern...
It can't be worse. I thought the first movie was such garbage. Suicide. And usually a superhero movie, like, you can kind of, even if it's real bad, sometimes you're like, it's kind of formulaic and I can enjoy it. And that one was bad, man.
Yeah, it was just one of those, well, they're gonna come anyway kind of movies.
It was so cluttered. I was so excited for that one too.
Yeah, I'm hoping James Gunn just keeps it rolling. He seems to understand how to mix like comedy and action and still give like a new plot. That's the key thing for me. Like, yep. if it's like the same formula, I mean, I'd be worried. But I think for what I hear, it's like a war movie, and they're getting like some of the crazy obscure villains, like Polka Dot Man, where it's like you're going into it like, what the hell could this guy be doing?
For
it's
what?
Almost entertaining.
For Batman?
For Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah.
Like, they're literally like, they're kind of doing the same formula as Guardians of the Galaxy, where, you know, comic book people know Guardians of the Galaxy, Suicide Squad, but like they can go to like this fifth or sixth layer with like kind of characters where people are like, who?
Right.
But then try to make them lovable, because they even said like some of the people, like I think like Drax is technically not, like before the movies, he wasn't like a big
yeah.
thing in Guardians of the Galaxy, nor was even like Lord Star.
I also think that whole like sticking so much to the comic book thing is so overrated, because yeah, there's a comic book audience, but it's kind of dwindling. Like, there's, you know, people just want to see the character. Like, we want you to the characters to be similar, but like, you can tell a new story. Like, all of them are new anyway. But
I think they're learning stuff, because I mean, hell, the last two Spider-Man, we didn't start with, oh look, here's the spider that's gonna bite Peter Parker. Yeah. I wonder what happens.
Yeah. So the Batman trailer. Now, I have always been like, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, because we were talking about Kingdom actually, and we were saying how, you know, like, Nick Jonas, MMA show, your mind goes, okay, not watching that. You know, your first reaction, you're thinking, but we're talking about how these guys, I think it was, we were talking about here, but these kind of guys are so talented. They've been acting. You got to remember, they take roles that are gigantic and lucrative for them. Like, you think of Robert Pattinson, you think of Twilight and whatnot. Now, I have been I was totally fine with the Robert Pattinson pick. Like, I think Heath Ledger is the perfect lesson for all of us to learn. Don't judge, you know, these guys are immensely talented. And there's a reason they get these roles. They don't just go in and be like, who's going to get the girl demographic? You know, like, they know they have so much on the line, and there's a reason they get the roles. There's probably 50 people trying out for it, you know, on Hollywood's A-list. So you have to trust that sometimes. Like Robert Pattinson, like, the trailer, now, awesome trailer. You know, Nirvana remix in the background. Now, is it... I don't know if we necessarily need a Batman movie right now. Like, it seems like it's like, oh, more Batman. And it kind of looks in the realm of the Christopher Nolan movies. It looks like that dark, kind of rugged kind of Batman. But I got to say, man, it got me fired up. I'm pretty excited for it.
Well, I don't think it comes out to like November of 2021. So right. we can get this little vibe and still be like,
yeah.
You know, like 5 months from now, I'll be like, ooh, when's that Batman coming out?
Yeah.
You know, it's, get the juices flowing on that. I think also what has changed now is with some of these actors, they go into, when they're offered something, they literally go into it and ask them, how is this different from like everything else I've done?
Right.
Because I kind of feel like not even just looking at like superhero movies, but look at like Jim Carrey mm-hmm. when he did the Riddler. He literally was just like Jim Carrey of Ace Ventura.
Exactly.
With a question mark.
Dancing around. Yeah.
Yeah. And who was Two-Face?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. I mean, he was just Tommy Lee Jones being the bad guy, and he's got purple makeup on the other side.
How can we forget Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze?
All right. What's my character? He's 8,000 ice puns. What's my motivation? To say the next pun.
It's too cold. That had to be the worst superhero movie of all time. I would rather watch Suicide Squad than that one. That has to be one of the worst, if not the top three worst.
I mean, you think if when he was reading it, he was like, seriously, another one? Yeah, guys, I mean, are we going to talk about the fact that my wife is dead and I'm looking for a cure? No, you want to say, Batman, why are you acting so chilly towards me?
Yeah. So the trailer looks really cool. The only thing I get worried about and with things like that is cramming too many villains into one movie. So you already saw Catman. Catman. It's the new Batman. It's 2020.
It's like the directed DVD movie of this 2021 movie. That's like Kato Kaelin as Catman.
Sometimes I can't talk. Catwoman, apparently the Penguin, and then apparently the Riddler. That's a lot to work in. I mean, the Batman movies have done it, and I get curious if they're consulting like any of the writers from the Christopher Nolan ones, because it does seem, I don't know, just from that trailer, obviously it's a minute and a half long, but it does seem like it's back to that kind of feeling. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. No. It looked like it froze there for a minute. I mean, I guess it depends. Like, I think with some of these movies, they have like tiny little nuggets here and there, as long as you're not saying, all right, I gotta go full force on all these characters in one movie, you should be fine. Sometimes they like to do the whole, let me just give you a little taste of this character and then he'll be the main one in the next one kind of deals. Or I mean, I guess the question is, are they gonna panic and say, how are we gonna get the Joker in here? Because that's sometimes their thing. I mean, granted, no one did it perfectly. I mean, to be brutally honest, I think the second one's the only one I liked that the Nolan's like really, really loved. The
really? Other ones yeah. were. See, I liked all three of them. I enjoyed them.
I'm okay with one, but I think they spent way too much time in the backstory before he finally put on the suit. And I think three, it just seemed clustered to me. I mean, I like Bane, but half the time I'm like, what? What'd he say? What's his motivation?
Imagine a whole podcast episode where you had to talk in Bane voice. But,
penguins.
So, I don't know. It got me thinking, you know, how we... I was thinking about Robert Pattinson and how, like, people, you know, judge characters too much. And then there's some people that people automatically love, and they would love him to do anything. Like, I was on the Kingdom message board, not to bring it back to that too much, but everyone loves the character of Jay, who I also said was probably the best character in the show. His acting is phenomenal. They're all like, I want to hang out with him. So it got me to thinking, Mike, I want to put you in an interesting scenario here.
Okay.
Let's say you were driving cross country. Okay. So you're going to drive from Georgia to California. Okay. All right. And you had to form your ultimate road trip team going across the country. Okay. Now your team is going to, like, you want to think of what would be good in a car ride. Like, what guys would be cool to hang out with in a car ride. Now, I broke it down, like, you're going to have a musician in the car. Okay. You're going to have an athlete in the car. You're going to have an actor in the car. And then anyone else of relevance. So there's five of you in the car, okay? It's you're driving. The other four guys are kind of hanging out with you, okay? So I kind of broke down mine. I figured maybe I'll put you on the spot here and think about who you would want to go cross-country with.
All right. So let me just write this down. So I need an actor, an athlete,
a musician.
Musician.
And then anyone else.
Other. Okay.
All right, Mike. So I guess I'll kind of start. So we're driving. Now I'm thinking, now these don't even have to be people you like. This might just be about the conversation you could have. The who's going to play the funny pranks on the trip down there. So I guess, Mike, we'll start with an athlete, okay? It's always good to have an athlete, an athletic guy in your group, you know, a guy who could really lighten the mood, or can have a competition. You pull up to a park, maybe he's a guy that's ripping all the jokes, making fun of everybody. I chose no other than Shaquille O'Neal. I want Shaq in the front seat, man. I don't know. Every time I see videos of Shaq, like home videos, he seems like a really fun guy. Like, he seems like he would make a road trip really. Scott, pull over here. Let's play a game of 1-on-1. Scott, let's go to Rock Castle, get a Crave case. You know, like, I feel like he would totally be a fun guy to hang. I don't know if you've seen that video of him DJing in his house with, like, his kids and his friends, and they're all, like, going crazy. Like, that's the best video. Like, and I feel like he might put something on the radio or on his iPod and DJ the road trip. So I'm going to take Shaq. Now, I know I probably need a big-ass car.
He's in the front seat. Like, I hope you don't have a shifter, because there's going to be no room to put it in second gear.
That's why I think Shaq's going to get shotgun. I think me and Shaq could have front seats, and then the other guys can kind of, maybe we'll have like a decent sized SUV or something like that.
Okay.
So Mike, I don't know if you had an athlete that you had to kind of buddy up with across the country and not get sick of. Who are you thinking initially?
My initial thought would be former Phillies player, now announcer, John Kruk.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he's got a little Krucker, life to him.
Yeah, I mean, he was an athlete, but he's the first person to say, I wasn't an athlete, I just happened to play baseball.
Right.
He seems to have a hilarious story every time. He has a comeback for everything. He's straight from the hip. So, like, somebody puts on some bad music, he'll literally go, all right, what the hell is this, and change the channel. I think you'll have plenty of good stories.
And he's kind of got, like, a David Wells vibe to him. You know what I mean? Like, David Wells always seems like a fun guy in interviews and, like, yeah, I was drunk and threw a no-hitter. Like, you know, like, yeah, that seems like John Kruk.
Yeah, like, I remember, like, there was a game a while back where the Phillies were down by, like, nine runs in the ninth inning against the Dodgers, and they came back and won the game, and he hit like the big home run to tie it up. Then they interviewed him after the game. It's like, what was the biggest thing on your mind? He's like, well, I know room service ends at around midnight and it was about 11:10. So I knew we had to get this game over with as quickly as possible. So, and I guess that's another thing. Like if I see something like, ooh, I want a Arby's meat melon, he'd be totally like, let's get it. Like, there's just no, like, listen, I got to watch my carbs or anything of that crap. I think he'd be totally fun in my car ride.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me, like, I had a honorable mention, like, Keith Hernandez is kind of like that. He says, like, whatever he's thinking at the moment. That's what makes him a fun announcer. But I think me and Shaq would get along. I think we'd have a good time together.
I think Shaq would be laid back enough for the ride. Yeah.
All right, let's go to a musician you'd want to ride around with for... Remember, it's a long road trip. Like, a musician can really get old pretty quickly. He might be too pompous. You don't want to bring the wrong musician. I went with a kind of a... Maybe the most obvious of the kind of couple guys I went with. I went with Dave Grohl. Kind of hard. I feel like me, Shaq, Dave Grohl, the conversation would be phenomenal. Like, Dave Grohl seems like he would actually enjoy a road trip. At least that's the image he puts out there.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he doesn't have, like, a broken leg where you need, like, the super way back seat to put up his leg, I think he'd be totally fine with that. But I even if he had the broken leg, I can still see him, like, jamming in the back, like, getting the mood going for the ride. Probably has tons of stories, both Foo Fighters and Nirvana.
Yeah.
And he's pretty solid.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty down-earth damn guy. So, and it seems like everyone loves him who, like, works with him. Who you taking on your trip?
Like, on my first thought, like you said, like his names were coming in my head, like, first I was thinking, like, maybe Tom Morello. For the moment, he seems, like, pretty cool, but he is kind of, like, political.
Yeah, he's a little preachy. Like, think about driving through, like, Missouri in the middle of the night, you know, Kansas in the middle of the night, nothing going on. He's just like, hey, man, what do you think about this whole mass debate? And you're like, Jesus, Tom, can we just stop at 7-Eleven without you bringing this up? Like,
exactly. So he's not in my car. We might call him at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We have nothing to talk about, just a jolt a conversation, then he goes political. Ah, we're going through. We might lose connection. I guess the one musician I can think of that'd probably be totally fun, and I don't have to worry about anything about, you know, who I am or anything like that. As weird as it sounds, I'm gonna go Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh yeah, Weird Al, John Kruk.
I think he'd be totally fun. Like, he'd probably pull out all his instruments and Crocker would probably get sarcastic with him, but it'll still be, like, hilarious as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I could totally dig that kind of vibe in that car. So Weird Al's coming to me with the California.
I feel like Crocker would be all wasted and be like, Weird Al, make a song about me. And be like, oh, okay, you know.
I don't give a crap.
All right, so actor, mine's like loosely an actor. He's also a comedian, but I just think throwing Shaquille O'Neal, Dave Grohl, and then you need someone who's like not afraid to put someone in their place or say something weird, who needs a different type of sense of humor. Now, like, Edward Norton's my favorite actor. He seems too cerebral.
Oh,
you know,
he would be terrible on the road. He'd be. Yeah. Talking about, if I was the driver, I'd be doing this, and we'd be listening to that.
I thought Christian Bale would be fun, but he'd be too angry. Like, someone might cut us off. He might kill somebody.
Yeah, you're going through the drive-through. They mess up the order. You know, he'd be like, no, go back.
Yeah.
I told him I wanted extra barbecue sauce, and they didn't put it in there. Go back.
So I thought bringing on someone like Norm Macdonald into the car with Shaq and Dave Grohl. I mean, there is three completely different personalities, but Norm, I feel like, he can communicate to basically anybody and make them, like, I would love an interaction with Shaquille O'Neal and Norm Macdonald. I feel like, you know, he'd be like, yeah, you know, Shaq, you know, hey, Norm, I don't think you're very funny. Well, Shaq, you know, that's my Norm impression, but, I just feel like Norm Macdonald, Dave Grohl, Shaq, that's a pretty entertaining car ride. A lot of things to pick on right there. A lot of things to really get in. And I feel like they're all guys that would kind of just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I could dig that. I could definitely dig those people in the car.
All right, Berlo, you're picking up an actor at your next stop. Who are you taking with John Kruk and Weird Al?
This is a tough one. This is a tough one here.
I'm also putting you on the spot, so like you get you had no show prep for this one. So
exactly, I feel this person. I've heard a lot of stories how he does a lot of pranks, and he's like an expert pranker. Where like they literally say, "Don't start something with him; he will get you back." I think he's gonna make it fun during the ride. Plus, I feel he's been out and about in Hollywood for a while, where we're gonna hear some interesting stories. I'm going George Clooney.
Okay. Now, automatically, you drop to like, you know, I don't know. You, John Kruk, and Weird Al have to compete for the ugliest in the car already. Once Clooney gets in, there's no chance.
Well, like, I'm married. I think pretty much everybody I brought up is married. So it's like the only situation would be like when we're in California and we're like next to the Corvette with the 19-year-olds. They're like, "Hey, George!" Mm-hmm. And we're like,
yeah, they just think you're like his landscapers with him.
Who's your old driver? Be quiet. I have a podcast. I'm important.
I like the pick of George Clooney because it really classes your car up all of a sudden. Like, you know, who's riding shotgun right now, though? I think it's got to be George in the front seat. You got to put Crockett Weird Al in the back.
I mean, you got about, like, at first I figured Crocker just on, like, the funny one-liners. But I think, I think out of respect, I have to put George Clooney in the front. Just be like, "I love you all in the back. You're going to make this fun as hell. But this guy's the master." So,
Plus,
I guess also, like, if we're trying to, like, make up some time, we get pulled over. I think we're more likely to get out of a ticket with George Clooney staring over, "What's the problem, officer?" versus John Kruk, who's probably like bloated with like a five out of six pack in him. Going, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Plus, you know, Clooney, male cop, female cop, gay, straight cop. He's still winning them over. I think he's so smooth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I got Shaq in the front seat. There's really no that. That's more of just a physical thing. There's no getting around that, but all right. So someone of relevance, Mike, this could have been anybody. This could have been another actor, another musician, another athlete. Could have been one of our guests on the podcast. But I really want to spice it up for conversation-wise. Now, Shaq's going to talk about his championships. Dave Grohl's going to talk about some rock band he was in even before Nirvana. Norm MacDonald's just going to be sitting there just cracking jokes and being weird. So I wanted to bring someone who was a little bit more to the center, I should say, or someone who's done some great things, but it's a little bit more humble. I'm going to throw Jimmy Carter in the car. President. Yeah. I'll bring on Jimmy. Jimmy seems like he's kind of, you know, he's a humanitarian now. He wasn't the best president, but he's kind of humble. People seem to like him. And now the conversation between Shaq and Dave and me and Norm, I feel like we're just going to really gel. We're going to be like one of those most movies, like Road Hogs or what's the one? Grown Ups 2. We're going to have that kind of relationship. We're going to be really good.
Now, my only concern point is you're going to need a pretty big car to move around Shaq. And I see Jimmy kind of in the back talking about, you know, we should have had a hybrid instead of this Hummer.
Okay.
Or stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Shaq will be like, "Shut up, old man." You know, like. So, yeah, I'm going to go Shaq in the front seat, Jimmy behind Shaq, because I feel like he's kind of like a feeble old man. He doesn't need that much space. Dave Grohl in the middle, because he can really. I feel like Dave's going to get along with everyone. If there was any tension in the group, I feel like Dave would break it. And then Norm right on the left side, right behind me, just cracking jokes. So I feel like if Shaq's being annoying, like Norm might tell me a joke, like, you know, just to my ear. So he's just sitting right behind me. So that's my crew. Shaq, Dave Grohl, Norm MacDonald, and President Jimmy Carter.
Now, this other is tough because, again, I've had no prep, and now basically the world is in front of me, and I have to pick one.
The world is your oyster, man.
I know. I know. How do I make this interesting?
Well, I'm just saying, you got a pretty white car right now.
I do. That is true.
Let me just say, there's probably not a lot of hip hop being played in this car right now. I think you should bring on like the Junkyard Dog.
No.
Earthquake.
Earthquake? He's white.
I know, but he's, you know, he'd be entertaining in a car.
Well, he's also dead, so that'd
damn
be
it.
Kind
See,
of hard.
I can't even keep up with wrestlers. It's just, it's almost impossible.
It's easier to name the dead ones than the live ones.
Yes, yes.
We need Big Show still alive. What?
All right, Mike, who are you picking up?
All right. I think I got one.
All right, all right. Listen, now don't force it to being racially sensitive now. I just pointed out that you had a white car. It's okay. You and your white car can hang out.
Mm-hmm.
There's also no females in our group either. We could be called...
No!
We could be called, misogynist too. So, it's okay.
It could be. It could be. But, hey, you know, when you're in a car for 4 days, you're going to pick what you want to pick.
That's right.
God dang, this is tough. This is tough. Okay. I think I got it.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I didn't hit any other of the groups you were talking about.
Oh, it's okay. It's group. Okay. It's okay.
But just for my extra entertainment, I'm going to pick somebody I think I would really have a fun conversation with. I'm going with Charlie Day.
I was just thinking you were going to say that. I was just about to be like, you should bring Charlie Day. That's amazing. Yeah. I agree, man. He was actually a guy I was considering when I was thinking about actors. Yeah, I think Charlie would just get along with everyone. I think he would be the guy you'd have to worry about least.
Like, I feel like we pull up to his house, and we open the door, and you're like, all right, you're in the... You're in the middle seat with Weird Al and John Kruk. He won't blink an eye. He'd just be like, all right, this is life. And he would just roll with it.
All right. Last thing before we bring on our guests here. What's your seating arrangement in the car?
Yeah. So as we point out, so if I get pulled over, I know my man Clooney will be suave and get us out of the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to have... Charlie's kind of scrawny, so I don't want him in between where he's squished in there, so I'm going to put him behind me.
Wow, I thought Charlie was going to be the middle because he's so small.
I thought about it first, but I'm like, all right, if I got to do seating arrangements and I'm going to make my crew happy, I think I'm going to do that.
Oh, man, you're not going to make him happy if you put big old Kruk in the middle.
Well, that's the thing. I'm going to put Kruk on the other side because I got a feeling he might smoke some cigarettes down there. I don't know if John Kruk smokes, but I got a feeling he does. So I kind of want that smoke
right
on the opposite side so I don't have to worry about it. Uh-huh. So it puts my man Weird Al in the middle.
All right. All right. That's not a bad seating arrangement. I would go with the same exact thing. I just put Charlie in the middle because he seems like he's got a lot of room. But all right. So, yeah. I'm riding around with Dave Grohl, Shaquille O'Neal, Norm MacDonald, and President Jimmy Carter. And Mike's rolling with John Kruk, Weird Al, George Clooney, and Charlie Day. That's a great road trip right there.
Yeah. You know who was my backup for other? And this is going to shock you. Trump.
Oh, yeah. Because
I think with no cameras around.
Oh, he'd be great. Trump,
like old school Trump. Like where we're like, well, you're kind of nasty, but we love you. if I got that in the car, I think I would roll with that.
That'd be great, man. Yeah. He'd be telling real inappropriate jokes the whole time. He'd be freaking saying crazy things.
He'd be like, listen, let's pull up to Area 51. They're going to show my face. I'm going to show you guys some aliens. Before we get to California, I'm going to show you the aliens.
Not like that Kruk and Donald Trump getting together. I feel like they'd be like good friends. I feel like they'd be high-fiving over locker room talk. Oh, man. Oh, that was fun. But our guest that we're going to segue into is also very fun. Football season right around the corner, guys, hopefully. It seems like it's going to be. And our next guest, he was a former football player, wide receiver he got drafted by the Browns, played for the Cardinals for a lot of his career, kind of had a journeyman kind of career, played for about 9 years. He's now a motivational speaker, really good guy to talk to. We really enjoyed our time with him. So we are going to talk with J.J. Burden on the show. Let's get him on the line right now.
All right.
All right. We are here with former NFL star J.J. Burden. J.J., first off, thanks for giving us some time here on the show, man.
Absolutely, Scott. No, it's a privilege. You know, it's always cool to talk a little football and some thoughts, you know.
Yeah. Mike will be joining us in just a second. He's figuring out the old tech problems, which seem to be a weekly occurrence, but that's okay. That's okay. It's just me and you for now on, which is the way I like it anyway. So, so JJ, we were just talking before we started here, and we're calling you in Scottsdale, Arizona, where you're at a cool 110 degrees right now.
Yeah, I think it's been like 115, but I guess it's only 111 today.
Oh, all right. It's a nice, cool, end of summer night over there.
Yeah.
Is that where you live, or are you out there for business?
Yeah, no, this is where I live. Oh, okay. I moved here actually about, 13 years ago from Portland, Oregon, where I'm born and raised, and rains a lot up there. So I finally got tired of the rain, and I went to the opposite end and went to the sun, you know?
Yeah. Now, are you a guy that can, like, handle these 110 days, or are you kind of, like, stuck inside next to an air conditioner?
Yeah, no, I can, and my wife thinks it's odd, but I'm like, I tell her, I used to train in this stuff all the time.
That's true.
And wear pads. And
yeah.
You mentally are able to accept it, you know?
Yeah. I went to the Grand Canyon about 2 years ago in November, and it was like plenty hot for me. So I'm not going anywhere near Arizona anywhere at this time of year. But so welcome to the podcast. Thanks for doing this. And so, JJ, I mean, it's kind of an interesting time in sports in general. It's we're kind of getting close. We're seeing training camps starting as far as football and whatnot. What do you think's going to, I guess we'll start there. What do you think's going to happen with the season here?
Yeah, I know. It's very interesting. Uncharted territory, you know. I don't know. Looks like right now they're doing camps, and somehow they're going to do the seasons. And I'm hearing different teams, or they're going to have the season. I'm hearing different teams are going to have limited audiences as far as the home field. But I, you know, right now I'm not 100% sold this is really going to happen.
I know.
I want to see it. I'll believe it when I see it, you know?
Yeah. The fact that they're worrying about fans right now, I don't think they can even do that. They might have to do the whole, just the game kind of thing that the rest of the sports have kind of been adapting to. I got to say, you played for a number of years. It's funny because I was looking over some of your information. I bet it's hard to believe for you that you almost drafted almost 30 years ago. You look like you could play right now, man.
I tell you, it is weird to think in 97, I retired, and 88, I was drafted. And I can't believe that time has gone by so fast. But you know what's really cool, Scott? I remember every touchdown, every catch, every big moment. You just don't forget those moments, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry about that.
It's okay. JJ's very upset with you. We were ranting.
I can tell.
Yeah.
He's going to put like him in a headlock. Give you a knuckle sandwich.
But it's kind of amazing. Like, I mean, the round you were picked in doesn't even exist anymore. I mean, that, that just adds to the craziness of your story. I mean, it just, I mean, just like reading up on you being 133 pounds in high school, like when you got to college, were your coaches like literally not even like caring about your skills and just harping on, you got to put on weight, you got to put on weight, you got to put on weight? Or
that's a great question. And you're going to be surprised by my answer, because I went to Oregon on a track scholarship. Oregon never recruited me in football. I didn't get any Division I letters at all my senior year at Lake Ridge when I was the number one wide receiver. Everyone just looked at me, 5'9", 133, no way. So when I got to Oregon, and the reason why, guys, I went to Oregon was because Oregon was the only Division I school who did not balk at the idea of me walking on football one of the years. And the Oregon track coach said, you come to Oregon to run for us, and we'll give you our blessing if you can get the head coach to allow you to walk on the second year. So, so that's literally what happened. The second year, I was begging Rich Brooks. Now I'm about 155 pounds.
Jacked up.
I wore him down. He finally said, you can walk on.
I'm curious. Like, you know, like I feel like football, you know, and most sports are always you know, looking for that image of bigger, faster, stronger. But then you get guys in the game that always, you know, especially in football lately, I feel like you get like a guy like Julian Edelman, who's not a big guy at all and is, you know, has had an amazing career. Are you like, when you watch, are you like rooting for these type of guys? Like you have like a brotherhood of like the not giant wide receivers?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Because I know what they went through before that, because I know at some point, some scout, some coach, somebody said, well, they're only this tall and they're only this big, so they're probably not going to make it in the NFL. I know that happened. So I love the fact when you see these underdogs proving them wrong and having, like you said, great careers.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like Darren Sproles and guys like that, you know. But I find the same thing in baseball. Like, they're obsessed with these guys that got to throw 102 miles an hour, and they're always hurt within 3 years. And then you look at throwbacks like Greg Maddux, who one of the best to ever do it. He threw like 90, 88, 90, and was just unhittable. So it's, I think we focus too much on size sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, if they could focus more on the individual, because you got to look at different things. Because even when people looked at me, they just looked at my size. But the athletic ability, my intelligence, my toughness, my willing to do whatever I had to make it, and always being driven by that. And it's, you know, and it's unfortunate because you get labeled until you get your shot. Because it took me 2 weeks, guys. When I walked in Oregon, I was like 14th on the depth chart. 2 weeks later, I was backing up two seniors, and the head coach goes, man, we just had no idea. And I said, because – you can't measure heart, coach. No. You didn't know how bad I really wanted it, you know?
Yeah.
Your first couple of years you were in the league, you were purely on practice squad. Are you, even as you're like going along, you're playing with your teammates and all, in the back of your mind, you're almost like, when's my opportunity coming in? Because like, I think the league is something like you can only be on a practice squad for like 3 years and then that's it. If I recall, is that the rule?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and when I was there, you could only be on twice. And the first year, I tore up my ACL, so I was on IR the whole year with the Browns. Okay. And then the next year, I'm on practice squad with the Cowboys. And, you know, they dangled the carrot, and they said, we're going to play you at some point. Well, they didn't play me the whole year.
Yeah.
But what I did was, guys, was this. I said, I'm on the team. I'm here every day. Let's get better every day in practice, because at some point you're going to get your shot. And when you do, you need to be ready. And I think for me, mentally, I was strong enough to recognize the fact that, you know, if I can get better every day, at some point I'm going to play. But some guys, they weren't mentally strong enough. They couldn't handle that. And these guys are the ones that, you know, their careers ended quickly because they weren't willing to put in the time every day and wait for their opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at your career, you know, longevity-wise, it's a pretty long career as far as football standards. It's you know, like I think they say the average is like what, 2.5 years or something like that, and, yeah, guys are gone. Yeah,
it's moved down, guy. It's now less than 2 years.
That's crazy. Wow.
It used to be 3 years, right? Now it's less than 2 years.
Well, that kind of segue, like you spent the majority of your career with the Chiefs, so you gotta. I mean, how'd you feel about them winning, finally winning that Super Bowl?
I felt like I was still in the Chiefs, man. I loved it. I was running around. I was wearing my jersey. I was having a blast.
Yeah, so I guess what I wanted to say is, like, you know, we hear all the time about mentioning early retirement. Like, our players nowadays, they there is some kind of education on investing and saving your money and not you're not blowing it all on mansions and cars and whatnot. And there seems to be, like, there is some kind of tutoring or mentoring by the league a little bit, or ex-players. Was there any of that for you guys back then?
No, when I played, there wasn't. There weren't any support systems like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of guys really struggled in making that transition. Fortunately for me, I mean, because guys, I didn't expect to be in the NFL. So when I was there, I took every day like, hey, this is something special. Let's make the most of it. But at the same time, I graduated from Oregon. So I was always thinking about life after football. So I networked and I made connections and stuff so that I can make the transition. But today, the NFL alumni has done a great job of having everything the players need, from a mentor standpoint, from a, you know, teaching and coaching and how to use, you know, how to invest and how to set yourself up for life after football. So, back in our day, none of that was here.
All right.
Wow. Now, your last 2 years were down here where I live, down here in Georgia, in Atlanta. Out of curiosity, as you talked about, you had a plan for outside of football, but what was the go? Was it, you say, I had enough, or was it couldn't catch on again, or just said
injuries?
Injuries.
Yeah, good question. Well, see, my last year, I hurt my knee after that last year with the Falcons. And as I was rehabbing and getting healthy, I said, you know what? I wasn't even supposed to play in the NFL. And I got to play 9 years. I mean, I'm credited for 9 years. Now I'm 55 and 9 years for retirement. That's great. And I thought, you know what? Let's stop while we can, while we're still relatively healthy. And I walked away. And I remember getting a couple of calls from some teams. I remember Seattle calling and Chicago calling. And I just made up my mind. I said, I'm done. You know? And it was nice to be able to do that, because, as you guys know, a lot of guys, it's hard to do.
Doesn't end pretty, yeah.
It's almost sad sometimes. You see guys go on a team for like 2 weeks, re-injure themselves, and they're like, no, I'm coming back next year. And it's almost like you almost feel sad for them, even though they're great athletes. It's like, come on, man. You know it's time.
Yeah. And I think for me, because I was always planning for the transition, the life after football, and I had options. So I was ready to move on, you know, and accept the fact I got to play. Let's get out while we can, while we're still relatively healthy.
It takes a strong mental game to do that, to step away from the cameras, the glory, the just the uniqueness of being able to play professional sports. The only so many guys ever get to do that. So let's talk about that. You retire, and you said you do have some plan. Now, I know eventually you got to what you're doing today, and we'll get to that in just a second. Right. But when you call it quits, was there was the temptation there to get back in the field? Was it hard to shut the adrenaline switch off and kind of start to shift gears? Did you hang around football at all and get into the coaching side, or were you like, I'm out, I'm done?
Well, initially, because I kind of went back and forth on, do I want to coach?
Right.
You know, that's kind of normal for players. Do I want to coach? Mm-hmm. Because when I was in Kansas City, during the off season, I used to coach at the local high school, the track team. I was coaching the long jump. So I was coaching during the off season. And even a couple times, guys, I was a substitute teacher in the off season.
Nice.
You know, so I was really testing the water. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So when I retired, I coached in a high school, and then I held some camps and stuff. But I knew that if I really wanted to satisfy my coaching bug, I wanted to coach at the NFL level. But I also knew that coaches did not have much of a life. They didn't have much of a life at all. True. And I thought, can I do that to my wife again and my family? And I just made the decision I was not going to continue to coach because I wasn't complacent with just – I wasn't just satisfied with coaching in high school. I wanted to coach the pros. And so I just decided to walk away. And it wasn't easy because, you know, when you play at a level and you've worked with the best and you see these young athletes and you know you can – teach them and help them progress. And so it was a tough battle, but I'm glad in the end I did not go into coaching.
Yeah. See, I know the I coached soccer for 13 years or whatever. And I know the frustration of just being a guy who played high school and seeing them and seeing how much potential they have. I can't imagine what it must be like for you as far as being like, dude, I made it. Yeah, I made it to the NFL. I have so much to give you. You just got to – but kids are still kids when it comes down to it. You put a lot of expectations on kids who are just not all there yet. You know?
Yeah. And guys, it's changed a lot too. When I was coaching in high school, I remember the coaches wanted the players to specialize. They wanted them to play one sport year round. And I was like, who does that? We didn't do that growing up. We did two or three sports. And
still like
that. So I would have these arguments with coaches. And then the parents, the pressure of the parents. And why am I? I don't need this. Yeah. You guys are a little too serious. This is high school. This is not the NFL, you know?
Yep.
Let's move on to your motivational speaking. I'm kind of curious, when you start doing that, are you more concerned with, as weird as this might sound, is it more concerning to get in front of a group that has like no sports knowledge and wouldn't know about your football career, or people who really know sports and only want to ask you questions about your football career when you're trying to, you know, motivate people?
You know, typically the audiences I speak in front of, and I do a lot of corporate speaking, most of them are not big sports fans.
Yeah.
You know, very few have heard of me. Some might have looked me up. But for the most part, it's not a sports-oriented audience. But what I love about what I do is I can still take a scenario in sports and make it relatable to the audience that they get it. You know, they get the point. And then I give them an action step too. So that's what I love about speaking because, you know, I've had so many oh my goodness, the journey to the NFL, the time that I spent there, a lot of lessons I learned, I can take those lessons and make them relatable so they can help the audience solve the problems that they're dealing with. But when I do have some of those audiences, like I just spoke for a group recently, and they were huge sports fans. I mean, yeah. I just want to know what it's like to play with Joe Montana, you know. And that's okay. You know, I love the variety, so.
Well, like, you know, it's pretty, like, you know, you kind of had to grind your way into football as far as being drafted and getting onto college and whatnot. What about like as far as getting into the world of speaking? Like, how does that start for you? Just say, hey, I got a message to send. Can you grab me a couple people in an auditorium? Like, did you have to design like a program first? Like, where does someone like kind of even take baby steps into getting into that?
Yeah, you know, Scott, that's a great question because when I launched my speaking career, people just thought, oh, you know, you play in the NFL, you wrote a book, you play with Montana, everybody wants to hear you speak. Yeah. When I launched my speaking career, I got 22 no's. This was me calling schools, calling businesses. They didn't care who I was. You played with who? I don't care. But see, that getting rejected like that was what I dealt with in my athletic career.
Right.
I was used to hearing no. Mm-hmm. I was used to being rejected. And every time I was rejected or cut, I worked harder. It made me hungrier. So even as a speaker, when I got rejected over and over and over, it made me hungry. It made me work harder. And then I finally got a yes. It was actually an office in Overland Park, Kansas, Merrill Lynch. They said yes.
Okay.
And that one yes basically launched my speaking career. But, you know, just like in sports, I realized I needed to pay my dues. I needed to put my time in. And, you know, I was already mentally prepared for those rejections.
Yeah.
Quick question. Now, when you do your first speech, like I used to do stand-up comedy, Scott still does it. Like we can go to like an open mic and work stuff. what can you do as a motivational speaker? Are you just like, honey, come over here. I'm going to practice how I'm going to inspire
Mary Lynch. I've heard this story a thousand times.
That's good. I do. You know, my preparation, it's almost like I'm in the NFL. You know, I write, I have my content and I practice my content. I practice my timing. I videotape myself. I watch the film,
right.
You know, I watch myself on mm-hmm. film to see, you know, what my gestures are, what my timing is. And if I, because when you're on stage, it's almost like I don't want to say it's not scripted, but you're on stage and you're doing certain things at a certain time to get the reaction from the audience,
right?
Which is what we did in the NFL. We watched our film, we critiqued ourselves, you know? So there's a lot of, when I call the 5 P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. So when I'm walking through my office, I'm preparing as if I'm giving it live. But and again, it comes back to the fundamental basics I learned as an athlete. Work, preparation, putting in the time, you know, perfecting your skills. I do the same thing as a speaker as well.
So for people who are just hearing this, and they're like, okay, JJ does motivational speaking. So what? So like, what is like some of the things, like if someone was to look into your work and hire you and say, oh, we're interested. What is some of the points that you get to in your program? What is kind of like the, synopsis that you are trying to talk about?
So I have 4 signature keynotes that I'm known for. One is called Seizing Your Opportunities. And then it's a general presentation to really help people understand what it takes to seize the goals that are important to you. Another one is called Every Day is Game Day.
Nice.
And that's emphasizing how you bring your best every single day. Because that's what we had to do in the NFL. You had to bring it every day. If not, you're replaced by someone else. And the other one is called There Better Be an I in Team, meaning that before you can lead a team, you have to be able to lead yourself. And leadership development is very important in the business world, you know, having leaders that know how to lead team. And then the last one, this is really popular right now. It's In Spite Of. It's about accomplishing your goals in spite of whatever the obstacle is. You know, so I've been doing a lot of presentations right now because of COVID virus.
Right.
COVID virus has ultimately changed everybody's life in so many different ways. And in the business world, that can seem like an obstacle. However, here's how you can conquer that obstacle by doing this, this, and that. And so whenever I'm speaking, guys, I always give people action steps. You know, here's what you need to do. Here's the steps you need to follow. Here's the action you need to take. Because I personally have dealt with it, and these are personal, you know, steps I've implemented as well to help me conquer the different challenges that I had, you know. So, yeah, and so depending on who I'm speaking to, you know, I'll meet with them, and they tell me the theme of their event, who's going to be at the event, and what problems they're dealing with. So I can take one of my keynotes, and I can tailor it based on the needs of the audience.
Nice.
Now, you also wrote a book, When Opportunity Knocks. How much of it, there it is right there, out of curiosity, how much of it is like the motivational speeches that you did, and how much is it that you had to like change things around to make it fit for a reading audience versus somebody listening?
Yeah, so my keynote, Seizing Your Opportunities, is really based on this. You know, when opportunity knocks, ace your fireways to take advantage. And so there's 8 points on how to seize your opportunities. So once I sit down with a company that's bringing me in and I have a general idea of what they're looking for, I can take the keynote and I can either tweak it, add it, add to it, modify, change it based on who I'm going to speak to. And one thing I've noticed too, guys, is this. Even if I have an audience of all women, I can still share certain scenarios or lessons I learned in athletics and still make it relatable to them, right. You know, and that's what I love about what I do, because there's been many times I've given a keynote and there's been predominantly women in the audience and they would say, oh my goodness, I'm thinking, they're like, what is a football player going to teach me? And afterwards they're like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that the points you could teach from being a football player could actually relate to me as a mom or in my job, you know? So that's a skill, and it's taken me time to be able to develop that ability. But yeah, it's very satisfying, guys, though, when you're giving these presentations and people are responding, they can feel it. You know, they're shaking their head. They love the points. And afterwards, they always share a point that they took away. And that's what I love. Because if I can share one little point that might move them in some capacity, then I did my job.
That's awesome. Like, as you see the big picture now, probably more than you did as a young athlete, and assuming you still watch the game and connect to the game, is there an athlete in the NFL that you think is like, wow, like this guy's got the mindset that I am kind of preaching already? He's focused and like, is there an athlete or two that you are really like, he hits my messages on all points as a young kid?
Well, I think, how do you phrase this? The athlete I probably admire the most right now is Tariq Hill.
Okay.
I admire him because he's a smaller guy, mm-hmm. but I have never seen, and understand, I was known for my speed. I was a 26 foot long jumper in college. So I was known for
that's
my
it.
Jumping.
That's it.
I've never seen a smaller receiver have the combination of speed, agility, power, toughness, hands, right. and just that tenacity that he's not going to be stopped, you know. And when I look at him, I'm like, wow, I wish I had the 30 pounds extra that he has, because I could not carry that weight. And so, you know, and plus, he's not a natural receiver.
Yeah.
He came in as a more of a running back return specialist.
Right.
So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this guy's going to get better and better every single year. So here's a guy that if he stays healthy and if he really keeps challenging himself, stay hungry, I mean, he could be one of the great ones when he finishes the game. But the big if is stay healthy and stay hungry and keep pushing yourself.
I'm
wondering, when you done a speech and people come up to you, has anybody come up to you and said that was a great speech, but I really hate you for that catch back in 92 against my team or something like that?
All the time. And it's usually the big catch in the Raider game or the big catch in the Pittsburgh game or the Denver game. And, you know, I get that all the time. And it's you have a little fun with it, you know.
Yeah. JJ, I want to thank you so much for giving us some time on the show. We really enjoyed talking to you. and like I said, you look like you can get out there and play in the fall. So I'm sure, you know, the Giants could use a third wide receiver. I'm just saying you and Sterling Shepard can do some work next to each other. But if people want to look into your business and what you do and maybe even want to book you, what's the best place for them to visit?
Yeah, go to my website, jjburden.com. That's the hub. You can look at my keynotes. You can look at some video clips. You can look at a variety of things there. But contact me through there. And I have a speaker agent I work with because of all the requests I'm getting. And, yeah, we'd love to have a conversation and love to get out and inspire the teams of different businesses out there.
Awesome.
Awesome. One final question for you, JJ. As I was looking back through your highlights, I'm weirdly going back to nostalgia, looking at those fields. What's AstroTurf burn like? Because once I saw the old school Chiefs Stadium, I'm like, oh, that can't be nice falling on that thing.
He'll show you right now. He's still got it.
I had a lot of turf burns back in the day. I can't believe we used to play on that stuff. It was so hard. And if it was cold, it was even harder. And you had to just mentally, you know, just say, okay, there's not much you can do about it. So just go play your game. You're going to get slammed on the turf multiple times. You know? So, I wish that, because when I left, then the field turf started coming in where the artificial grass is about that thick. And
right.
I wish I could have played on that surface because that stuff's really nice.
JJ, thanks so much. Stay nice and cool out there in your 110-degree weather. And we appreciate the time you gave us today.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Mike. Keep up the good work. And thanks for having me on.
Oh, man. Maybe JJ could join us in the car ride. He seems like a very positive guy. He might tell Kruk, enough, okay? Okay, calm it down. Or he might be like, listen, Shaq, I don't really know what you're doing here. Like, no one wants to listen to EDM anymore. But, you know, JJ Burden, everybody.
Yeah, I feel like if we got like a flat tire or something, he'd be the guy I would want to go to. Like, he'd be the one calming down, like Weird Al Yankovic. And...
Weird Al's just playing a stupid accordion after what? Like, okay, we get it.
I don't know what rhymes with mechanic. Don't make up a song, okay?
But yeah, JJ, very cool guest. Very cool guest. His boys have another, they got a chance of repeating this year for sure.
If it happens, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knows what this season's going to be like.
I mean, I'm surprised they haven't tried to really get to the bubble system that seems to be working.
Well, I think the problem is, and kind of like with baseball, like you look at hockey, basketball, soccer. I mean, there's numbers, but it's still like a lower set number. A football team, that is
massive.
Minimum like 80 people. You're like literally filling a hotel room. Mm-hmm. So if you go to a bubble system, you literally need to have 32 hotels right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wherever there's 32 hotels, you know they're sitting back saying there's a party around here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I think it's gonna happen because even baseball like is chugging along. It's not good, you know. The Mets got infected, you know, this weekend. It's chugging along. They're making it work, and they're making it happen. And basketball and hockey seem to be perfectly fine. So,
yeah, though the only problem with basketball is they're trying to sneak women in there, and that's
yep.
That's like the greatest thing. They're like, well, like close loved ones can come in, and they literally were like, well, listen. I like a certain type of woman that's not my regular woman.
It's like conjugal visits, man.
All right. Do I really need to explain to you this situation and diseases and viruses? All right. Let's forget about this COVID thing for 1 minute. You do realize what you're doing does generally result in getting something.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, one of our former guests did call that, man. I don't remember who it was. Someone we had on was like, yeah, the problem with the bubble is going to be these guys bringing in women and trying to get women in there. And sure enough, he was right. He was right.
Did you see that story about the Seahawks quarterback that got released because basically he got a girl and put her in a uniform and tried to sneak her in to camp.
Oh, God. For these guys, it's got to be like kind of like a high school, college feeling to them. Just kind of like pushing the limits a little bit. And, you know, like you got to remember a lot of these guys are still like 20-something year olds. You know, they're not taking all this so seriously. When you're early 20s, even mid-20s, you're not even fully like, I don't know. You're not fully responsible and fully thinking straight. So, I don't know. I get it.
Let me put you this way. If I'm sneaking a woman, if I'm not married to my lovely wife, who we're going for our second year tomorrow, so this is just a hypothetical, people. If I was single and I knew we needed to sneak a woman into the bubble, I'm saying put on the mascot outfit. I'm saying, like, put on one of those collared shirts and act like you're one of the medical staff, something like that. I am not putting her into an NFL uniform and thinking nobody's going to figure this out.
I like the idea of them sneaking him in the mascot uniform.
Like, oh, man, hey. Burnham really looks gritty. Like, gritty's in his room every night.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally sounding like one of those 80s like sex comedies, you know, like Porky's or something like that, where it's like, gosh, man, I'm horny. Damn it, Johnson. You know the big game's coming up. No sex before the big game. Don't worry, meat. We got a plan.
Yeah.
And then wackiness ensues and there's a bunch of nudity.
Yeah, yep. But I bet you it's got that vibe to it too. It's got that summer camp, surrounded by testosterone all day, nothing much to do kind of vibe, which is like those movies. That's kind of what it was, you know, fraternities, you know, nerds, like groups of dudes hanging out together, like, oh, let's see if we can do the. It's the same thing all the time. Change the 80s movies were basically take a group of people, change the plot a little bit, you know, and just put out another one, put out another one, put out another one.
It's the cool leader of the team.
Yep.
It's the wimpy dork. He's either like the stats guy or the like sixth man on the team.
Yep.
The big fat guy, the horny guy.
Yep. The dumb guy.
The dumb guy and the schemer.
Yep. Or the fat guy. Mm-hmm. Always a fat guy too, you know?
Yeah. And then like there's usually like one female in the group. It's like, oh, she's cool. And like we're not you're hot, but we're not trying to have sex with you.
Yeah. Because
you're the cool girl of the group.
Right. And she usually comes up with the solution to something in the end, you know, yeah. Like that they can't see because they're just dumb dudes, you know.
But, boys.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I kind of redeemed, you know, like how a week ago I went to Wildwood. It was like kind of a subpar vacation. I did go away for just one day this weekend to Pennsylvania to a friend who had a cabin out there. And I was thinking just like a little cabin, like orphanage style beds, you know, maybe like a kitchen. But it's like this really nice cabin out by... I didn't even know where it was. Towards Scranton. It's pretty far out there. It was like a 3-hour drive, 2.5-hour drive.
Okay.
But it was nice, man. It was like really nice. Like all these separate rooms. And like it was kind of like it's a cabin that's been in their family for like 30 years. And they're trying to keep it in the family and all, you know, cabin-y stuff around the room. I even sent you a picture of it was like a picture of bears dancing around. It was like all this old cabin-y type garbage, I guess. And it was cool because I don't know, man, if you ever get away to like a cabin in the middle of the woods, rednecks got it right, man. It's fun to do redneck stuff for like a couple days. So we had quads and also an ATV he had, so we're ripping quads around, you know, like drinking beers by, I think we got up there at 9 o'clock. I think my first beer was at 9:45, you know, shooting shotguns. We're shooting clay pigeons. I haven't shot a shotgun in probably, I don't know, 10 years maybe. I haven't shot a shotgun in a long time. But redneck stuff is fun. I think I understand the redneck every time I do redneck stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when they when they're organizing the event and you don't have to like put it somewhere where you're like applying for a job and they see the video, it's all awesome.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it. I'm not sure if you saw it's a video being shared now, but somebody had a video where they had their son, they had some like plastic tubing and they lit a firework and then the rocket went out. And then I guess they had like a big pile of wood covered in like gasoline. So like it literally like, it hit the pile of wood and exploded upwards. And it's one of those things you're like, oh, you classless people. But at the same time, you're like, man, how hard can that be? Can I set that up? Can I do it safely? Because I want to kind of do that.
Safely, no. But you could definitely blow things up. I mean, we were having a fire and playing with gasoline. Like all the stuff I used to do, you know, like just lighting things up and having a cigar. It was just really nice. And it was only one like 24-hour period. I mean, we left by like 11 the next morning. But it was like, I was like, I feel like I had a mini vacation. Now, the sleeping arrangements were interesting because my pregnant wife went to bed at like 8 o'clock. She'd take it up, and it was like a full bed. And she already usually takes up most of the bed. Then my big old bulldog, half bulldog, takes up the other half of the bed. And there was like, the bed was really short. So I tried to crawl into bed, and like my legs were like pressed against a footboard. So it was like a leg press machine. Like it was, so I'm like, this is just not going to work. So eventually I got up in the middle and just slept on like the couch. But it was weird. Our room had this like weird, like it had pictures of all the kids and everybody, and but then it had like a Jesus picture staring at you, like right at the foot of the bed, and it wasn't like a friendly Jesus, Mike. It was like a very serious, stern Jesus. Like I don't know if I could hold
judging it. Jesus.
Yeah. Like I don't know if I could hold. Like I'm showing you right now. I could put it on Instagram in a bit, but like a very judgy Jesus. Yeah, like. Like, mm-hmm. you two better not kiss each other in bed, you know, like, kind of Jesus.
Yeah, he's stern. He's definitely, like, staring down, kind of like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, this is not, like, the fun-loving Jesus that's going to turn water into wine. This is the, excuse me, have you heard of the 12 commandments?
Yeah, 10 commandments.
Kind of Jesus.
Yeah, I think you just added two commandments, but Mike, tell us about the 11th. Whatever. Tell us about the 11th and 12th commandment. You are a really religious guy. Number 11 was what again?
11th, thou shalt not redneck for over a weekend.
Jesus said that, huh?
Yeah. Remembered. I mean, he dealt with this stuff. Like, and, you know, they were having a good old time, having like a big stockpile of fire, and then things got crazy and you end up on a big pile of wood and all stuck up on there. And
right,
you know, he knew. He's like, listen, if we did it one night, we've been fine. You know, our brains would have compressed back to our usual, you know, business selves, and we would have been good
right
the following day. But no, we over redneck. So
that's what happened. And what about the 12th commandment?
The 12th commandment?
Yeah, the 12th commandment, Mike.
The commandment after the 11th one.
Is it thou shalt...
I'm not stalling to tell you, but...
I was going
to
say, thou shalt not ask questions. Thou shalt not ask questions to find... To answer the question.
Thou shalt actually talk to thy coworker prior to the podcast so he can prepare prior to said conversation. That's the 12th one.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
That's a weird commandment, considering there was like, I don't know, no podcast.
He knew what was coming.
Yeah.
He knew what was coming. He had connections.
No,
daddy's like, don't tell your friends, but this thing's coming around 1920, whatever. It's a few thousand years after, you know, we take care of you.
Now, the 10th commandment movie, which is on, like, I think it's on Easter every year or Christmas every year. Yeah. With Charlton Heston. So, were those sequels?
You should see the direct DVD sequels after that.
Oh, they were directed. That's why I've never seen them. Yeah,
11th and 12th ones are amazing. I mean, they don't really follow the plot of the Ten Commandments,
right?
But you know, these directors are like, you know what? I have a vision. Let's go for it. You know, the 12th one's in space. It's very awkward. All movie series end up in space.
Yeah, why does that happen? Like, you know, we're really let's do one in space. You know, like, let's get up in the sky, change the narrative.
If Jason and the Leprechaun can go to space, so can the disciples, okay?
One might argue they're in space right now because they've died for your sins. Yeah, I used to hate that, going over my aunts on Easter every year. And the freaking Ten Commandments would be on. I'm like, oh my God, this is the most boring movie in the entire world. I'm like, it was always like more of a quieter kind of holiday. Like, we would just stop by and she would have like deviled eggs and some food out. But it was more of like a very like, it wasn't like a party fun Christmas Eve type of thing. And it was always like, this is so boring. And then I'll never forget my dad, me and him were wrestling around one day and he... on Easter, and he like grabbed my nose and pressed it so hard. I was like, arr! And he squeezed it so hard that my whole nose was black and blue for all of Easter. And I remember just being miserable in my aunt's house, like curled up on the chair, trying to block my nose from like everyone while the freaking Ten Commandments was on. And it was just the worst Easter you could possibly imagine. Embarrassed. Watching the world's most boring movie, eating deviled eggs.
It's kind of funny you bring that up. Like, my family was never like religious. Like, we went to church for like a certain stretch later on.
Yeah.
Like like in my teen years, just like, well, now you're old enough, you can decide if you want to do whatever. But I think I was like 7 or 8, and I think my dad just wanted to try something or whatever. Like, I remember,
like,
I was
meth.
No. Oh. But I remember, like, I was downstairs, and he yelled downstairs to me, "Hey, son, do you want to come up? We're watching the Ten Commandments."
Oh, God.
And I believe my reply was, "No, Dad, I'm watching Garfield's Easter." And I remember he was getting, like he didn't direct it to me, but, like, he was upstairs arguing with my mom. And, like, I remember hearing him upstairs going, "God damn it, he's watching Garfield Easter instead of the Ten Commandments."
He definitely called you a bunch of names that you did not hear.
So needless to say, no, it didn't stick. Now Garfield Easter, now that's a movie
I you know what? Screw that. I am also with you. That Ten Commandments, that like era of movies, I can't watch them. My brain just does not. Like, there's nothing entertaining about them. There's, like, the Ten Commandments. There's another one, too, that's, like, always on Easter. It's, like, a biblical movie. It's always on. It's, like, that. It's like just when they got color. You know, like,
yeah.
I can't watch them. My brain just doesn't want to go anywhere near them, and I hate it.
Have they put The Passion of the Christ out there on Easter?
I don't. That might be too intense for Easter dinner.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, the hardcore Orthodox, I'm sure they're plenty down with that. They probably got it on the 24-hour loop, kind of like Christmas Story on TNT.
Easter's a crappy holiday. Ugh. Like, I'm never like, "Oh boy, it's Easter this week." I'm always like, "Ugh, who's host? Like, someone's got to host it," and everyone's just kind of like, "All right, we'll get together because it's Easter," you know, like.
It's always like the weirdest holiday, like where like in New Jersey, like, well, for starters, nobody gets a day off from it. Like, some people get Good Friday off.
Yep.
I never got Good Friday off. That's why I never knew when Easter was on.
Yep.
Like, I remember I was doing a project and I had to, like, lay out dates. And then, like, after I laid out dates for my manager, I had to, like, go out to my guys and say, "Okay, we're doing this then, this then, this then." And, like, a guy looked at me. He's like, "You know that one Sunday is Easter Sunday, right?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, God." And then, like, when I tried to go back and change it, like, my managers wouldn't allow me. It was, like, the most awkward thing. I'm like, "Are you really forcing us into to work on Easter because I forgot about it?" And
listen, though, if there was one holiday, if they were like, "Scott, you have to work one holiday a year," I'd probably pick Easter. I love July 4th. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I love Memorial Day. I love Labor Day. I'm not. Like, there's nothing about Easter that I'm like dying to be like, "Oh man, can't wait to celebrate." No, zombie Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not huge on Easter, but it was more, I felt bad, like, other people.
Right, of course.
Look forward to that and all that stuff. I mean, luckily it was done 1, 2, 3, and everybody was happy and all that. But it was. It was like an awkward moment, but I remember, I think I've told this story on the show before. Like, my sister, she was with another guy at the time, and all, somebody we really didn't like in the family, but mm-hmm. I was still in Jersey, and my parents and my brother was down in Georgia. I really didn't have any family, so, like, my sister said, "Oh, come down to see us, and we'll have Easter dinner together." I'm like, "Oh, that's great." You know, so I was still living in Flanders. She was living in New Egypt. So that's 2.5 hours for people who don't live in the New Jersey area. And then they also had construction on the turnpike that week. So it took me about 3.5 hours to get down there. And my sister at the time was living with the guy in the place that he worked, which was basically like a timeshare kind of trailer park is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
It was like the weirdest concept.
That'd be great if that's what it was called, too. The timeshare trailer park.
It was, what was it, in Cedar? I forget the name of it. But in any case, so I go down there. I think I get there around like 9:30. I'm like, "Okay, my sister's not here. So I'll go out, do a couple quick things. I remember, like, I stopped off at, like, a grocery store and got her, like, a $8 plant or something like that. Something nice for Easter.
You know Mike's busting out when he goes to the $8 plants. You know, he's like, I'm not doing the $5 plants.
No.
Not even the $6.50 ones, but I'm going down the $8 plant aisle today.
This one has a pud on it. So
that was the best. Yay! You know, I got something nice, like an $8 plant.
Yeah. But, so I drove around for an hour, and I come back. She's still not there. Now, to kind of add to the story of why we didn't, like, really trust the guy or what she was doing with him and all, she basically had a different phone number every 2 weeks, my sister. She basically was on burner phones. Like, I remember one time she says, well, I don't call as much because I don't want roaming charges. I'm like, this is 2006. Who has roaming charges right now? But I called, like, six of her numbers. She would not pick up. And I just gave up. It was like 1 o'clock. So I just, feeling defeated, took off for 2.5 hours to go back home. And then I called my dad to kind of tell him the story. And as I tell him the story, he's like, that's a good story. Anything else you want to say? And I'm thinking there for a minute. I'm like, happy Easter. He's like, anything else you want to tell me? And then I'm like, well, the way you're talking, I guess I forgot about your birthday. So happy birthday, Dad. And that was my Easter that year.
Nice. Nice. He's probably, no, between that and the cards that you haven't sent over the years, he's probably got stockpiles of stuff that you just, he probably hates you is what I'm saying. You need to know this Easter. Be like, you know what, Dad? Here's all your Father's Day and birthday cards. And we're going to watch the Ten Commandments together.
Dude, you're not saying that because you're DVRing Garfield. No, Dad, no.
Dude, we should do an episode where we watch the Ten Commandments and stop every 10 minutes and talk about what's going on.
I like that concept, 10 and 10. I like that.
Yeah. I always, as a kid, I felt that movie was 400 minutes long, so I have no idea how long the runtime is. But
welcome to year 4 of the 10 on 10 podcast.
Oh man, but yeah, what are you gonna do? I think this year, you know, we've done Memorial Day. No, we haven't done more. We did President's Day special. We've always do a Halloween and Christmas one. I think we should do the first ever Easter special this year.
What to you mean next year?
Yeah,
Easter happened this year,
you know,
right?
Easter coming up. Yeah, the one in the fall, the spring. We've never done an Easter special on the podcast. Maybe we got to find Easter-themed guests.
Okay, I'll find the voice of Garfield for you.
That would be amazing. Exactly. I mean, we had the Kool-Aid Man on, so we might as well have the voice of Garfield on.
He's like, seriously, I did like 200 episodes of the show. No, we're just talking about the Easter episode, okay?
Do you want to ask me anything else about my career? No. Tell us what you really like about the Easter.
So why did Garfield paint his egg pink? I mean, he's orange and black. I figured he'd want a base color to match him.
Well, anyway, guys, I don't even know how we got on Easter today, but tonight was a very fun episode. We got to talk about our car trips with Dave Grohl and Shaq and Norm MacDonald and Jimmy Carter and John Kruk and Weird Al and George Clooney and Charlie Day. And then we got to interview J.J. Burden. And that's kind of how this show goes, guys. We don't really – we have ADD, so we don't really follow any strict format. And I hope you really enjoyed the show. Berlo, anything to promote before we get out of here?
Well, I'm going to promote one of the networks we are on, the RTF Sports Network, because they have made some updates to their webpage with all the ongoing news and updates of the shows on the network. So why don't you all go on to rtfsportsnetwork.com and check out all the happenings going on, including us. That is rtfsportsnetwork.com.
All right. And I actually have a double, two promotions for this week.
What?
This is called show prep for once, Mike. No, I was walking towards a soccer field and I saw a I think they were a volleyball team training high school volleyball team training, getting ready for the season and whatnot. And I heard a song on their Bluetooth speaker, and I'm like, huh. Like, I recognize that. And I realized it was a song from our former guest, Wicks Patton, which is not that long ago. Maybe, I don't know, 10 episodes ago, 15 episodes ago. And Wicks is a former player for Georgia, but he's also a upcoming kind of hip-hop, pop artist coming up. And the song I heard, I was like, oh, wow. They were, like, working out to the song. I'm like, I interviewed that guy. So it was pretty cool. So I guess I'll just promote Wicks Patton. I know he posted recently, Gelato Glued is now streaming everywhere. So I guess, you know, if you want to check out basically some modern music, some hip-hop music, check out Wicks Patton. He's got some good stuff. He was a good interview, too.
Yeah, we'll interrupt you to say he was episode 311.
Yeah.
And he also has a more recent single out called Why, which is also pretty good. So check that out, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so 311 time was only 9 episodes ago. So, or 10 episodes ago. So, and then it's sticking in a similar vein, two of our former guests from the band Coheed and Cambria, we had Travis Stever and Josh Eppert on the show. They just released, Coheed and Cambria just released a sequel to Jesse's Girl. With Rick Springfield, who does a verse. It's basically how, like, Jesse's Girl, essentially, he made a mistake by wanting her so bad, but she's absolutely nuts. And they did a video for it, and the song is really, really good. It's right in line with the Rick Springfield song. So go check out Jesse's Girl 2 is the name of the song. Very cool quarantine content, put it that way. It's like fun. It's creative, and it was really cool. So go check out Coheed and Cambria's Jesse's Girl 2. So other than
Jesse's Girl in space.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, it is really cool. It's fun, though. Other than that, guys, check us out on all social media platforms. You can find us just type in Verbal Shenanigans. We're on a whole bunch of internet radio shows. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, basically every podcast platform you can find us. Best thing you can do is share our podcast with your friends or share it with your social media friends and be like, hey, this was really good. And that's it. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Live to all 12 commandments.
Just come before those battles lost and won. This life is